97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
To the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, coming to you live from the Coyote Witchery outside Washington, D.C. So, as right-wing-ish commentator David Frum said, we are at a unique and sinister turn in American democracy. There we go. So, my wonderful ally guest this hour, Susan Griffin, whom I will bring in moments, said, we're going to raise the roof beams. And we go, raise the roof beams so we can see the stars. Yes, absolutely. So, as you know, we are in Fun Drive, KPFA Fun Drive, but it's a particularly great Fun Drive because Mercury and Uranus are transiting the sun of KPFA when our wonderful station, our place of convening in times of dedicated protecting of democracy, born April 15th, 1949, the sun, S-U-N, was at 25 plus Aries, whose image is a woman bursting with gifts more than she can hold. And Mercury and Uranus are right on that now, meaning our beloved station is ready to be even more telepathically and electrically engaged in the crucial historic nature of now, and so on. So, Visionary Activist Show today, okay, let's save democracy via democratic animism. I welcome longtime ally, fellow member of the Council of Unreasonable Women, Susan Griffin, prolific, so prolific author of myriad books, and today we're featuring a new edition of her book, Women and Nature, The Roaring Inside Her. In this famously provocative cornerstone of feminist literature, Susan Griffin explores the identification of women with the earth, both as sustenance for humanity and as victim of male rage. Her website is susangriffin.com. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, so glad to be here.
This is great, and let's think of this as part one. I'm so glad. Many of you know Susan Griffin for many wonderful things. Again, she was awarded an NEA Fellowship and an Emmy Award for the play Voices. She's featured in the 2014 feminist history film. She's so beautiful when she's angry. Yes, that's a great thing to say. And many things, and your writings, Women in Nature, The Roaring Inside Her, which was 1978 and just reissued, Eco Feminist Treaties, and many, many books, The Eros of Everyday Life, and Wrestling with the Angel of Democracy, On Being an American Citizen, and Transforming Terror. That's great. So let me just put out the pitch to our dedicated listeners, and then we will raise the roof and kahoot with so much beauty that you are proffering to the world. So, team, we are offering Susan Griffin's wonderful book, Woman and Nature, just recently reissued, The Roaring Inside Her, by Susan Griffin, for a pledge of $100. And in keeping, in good company from past guests, we're also offering Token Women, A 4,000-Year History of Women and Marijuana by Nola Evangelista, with some very surprising people in there, for a pledge of $60. And from our recent fabulous radio guests, Laura Kortner and Robert Hieronymus, the really invaluable book, The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World, for a pledge of $90. And that's by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY. KPFA, or online securely at kpfa.org, because we have a lot of listeners out there in the memosphere, and hello Japan and Australia and Alaska, and there's a couple of people in Syria. Hi there. So wonderful. All right, we've done that. Now, where shall we begin, darling? This is so perfect to have you right now at this crucial cuckoo time.
Oh, I'm so glad to be talking to you now. I mean, we could begin with this, what the situation, you know, capital
yeah.
S or capital T, as in Trump.
As in treason, as in
treason, as in Trump.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like to say that all tyranny is compensatory weenydom, and that Trump is a slave of premature articulation.
Well, actually, I think he is a slave. You know, there's a way that in which he's so inarticulate, and I'm just writing about that now. I'm writing a book called Strong Man, and
good.
And drawing some connections between fascism and Nazism and our current ideologue, but more, I think there's something that is an American fascism. It's a particular kind of fascism. It's very much more allied with corporations, corporate wealth, and the irony that Trump would have run on a position of attacking the 1% and saying you people, working people, have been screwed, when in fact he's one of the people guilty of such behavior.
And because of his backing by this obscure, eccentric, tyrannical bazillionaire Robert Mercer and his even more right-wing daughter, so I like to call Trump a Mercer-inary. Okay, there we go. So, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and that's why, you know, again, so great to Kahoot with you right now and in perpetuity, because it is about, you know, healing the relationship and partnering really with nature. There's so much of that brewing, you know, the beautiful Standing Rock, you know, unabashedly saying we are protectors, we are protecting Mother Earth. You know, and again, healing
yes.
our kinship.
I mean, that's the clue. I think it's so important that we're kindred with nature. And I think that the reigning and dominant philosophy of our culture for at least the last 1,000 years has been that we are above nature, and somehow we're better than nature, and somehow we can also, and this is completely irrational, but we can escape nature. So that kind of magic trick is pulled off by imagining that we're more of the spirit, and nature is more material. Now the problem is it's that human beings are obviously material, and there's things like dinner, and there's things like cleaning up afterwards and changing the baby's diapers. So women who traditionally have done those tasks are associated with nature, and men with the spirit. And one of the reasons that in this culture it becomes so important to dominate women and to show power over women is that it is a metaphorical show of power over nature. So we're living in a culture that's profoundly divided from nature. And being divided from nature, we also don't look at the consequences of what we do, as in polluting the waters by laying pipelines carrying highly toxic substances such as oil underneath rivers.
Yeah. And you know, again, I get a lot of my metaphysics from the New York Times science section, because everything real is also symbolic. And I love, from years ago, I clipped this article, and it said, scientists discover that beneath and around every river is an invisible river, teeming with microorganisms, but invisible, and that the health of the visible river depends on the health of the invisible river, which is about 500 feet down and about 100 yards out. And we go, this is metaphysics 101, that the health of everything depends on the invisible around it. And again, the invisible has been, you know, again, the large realm of the dark feminine, right? It's pulsing all around us.
Yeah, and the invisible is part of nature. It is material. That we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not material, but that it's material does not mean that it isn't filled with spirit.
Absolutely.
One of the things, I think, you know, one of the reasons that so many indigenous peoples, First Peoples, American Indians, have been on the front lines right now of environmentalism is that the philosophies with which they structure their societies and which they've been taught from very young looks at everything in nature as endowed with spirit. And, you know, when you begin to open your eyes and see that, it becomes perfectly clear that that's the truth, that trees have a spirit. They emanate a spirit. Why is it that we feel so good when we're walking through the woods? Yeah, sure, we can talk about oxygen and all of that, but there's also this communing feeling. It's a communion. We're in communion with all life. The bad news is that we aren't in control. The good news is that we're not alone.
Right, and there is this, you know, amazing, relentless war on life. But another radio guest ally, somebody I would love to connect you with, is Diana Beardsford Kroger, who was orphaned, born into a Druid family in Ireland, you know, orphaned, raised mm-hmm. by elderly Druids, and then went and got a bazillion Harvard degrees in botany and doctors to prove Druid lore. Yeah, and what she said also is the you know, science. We want science and mysticism brought back together again because they really belong together, and that's why she said, "Walk into a pine forest, you always come out smarter." Because
oh, marvelous!
Themselves.
What a wonderful yes, wonderful. And do you know the work of Robin Kimmerer, braiding sweetgrass and gathering moss?
No.
But she's also a botanist and Native American, and she puts those two together too in a beautiful way.
I love that.
Walk into a forest and you come out smarter. You certainly do.
And she also said, if you're lonely, sit under a willow tree because the salicylic acid will heal your sense of connection.
That's fantastic.
And then just also for us too, women and radio and everything and boys too, she said, if you take walnut and crush it, it smells wonderful, like a kind of citrusy thing. And she said, women, if you rub it on the inside of your arm, it will prevent breast cancer.
Incredible.
So cooperators are standing by. And then in keeping with her, I love friends from Standing Rock say, sage against the machine.
Right? So, love that.
Yeah.
Sage against the machine. I love that. Yes. Yeah, and you know, sagacity, wisdom is something that nature has, and we're beginning, you know, science is catching up with that now. I mean, indigenous philosophies and indigenous science, traditional ecological knowledge, which is Native American First People science, indigenous people science, has known that, forever, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so we do put on our altar of desirable, protection, you know, another great radio ally, Terry Tempest Williams, and mm-hmm. many people who've been dedicated to protecting the Bears Ears National Monument, decreed such by Obama on his way out, now vulnerable, because that was exactly what you say, you know, 1.2 million acres, you know, to be stewarded by the tribes who've lived there for millennia, but with a happy, collaborative project with the federal government, may it be so, to have a learning institute in Bluff dedicated to indigenous and scientific knowledge wedded.
Wonderful.
So,
that's wonderful. Yeah. I think, you know, there's now we're understanding that the trees and a forest are communicating with each other, and not only are they doing that through their roots with the help of mushrooms, but they are also they are also helping each other, that the trees that grow up taller are able to have more nutrients because they get more sunlight, but they're sharing that through their root system with the younger, smaller trees.
Yes, beautiful. Now, again, if we could just be like them, if we could just learn from them,
yeah.
Well, do you remember way back when we were part of the founding Council of Unreasonable Women?
I remember so well. Yes.
We had a very jolly time, you and I and the whole team, and from that Code Pink emerged and many great things, and yourself. But, you know, when at that time the government was planning on storing nuclear waste under Yucca Mountain, and I said, well, in keeping with indigenous pragmatic mysticism, you know, without hubris or presumption, let's invite Yucca Mountain to give her opinion on the matter.
Protest the situation, yes, and she did.
And she did, right.
Yeah.
It was, I think, a day or two later that there was an earthquake under Yucca Mountain causing the scientists to...
I'm
so glad you remember that, yeah.
I remember it very well, and Trump is Trump is wanting to revive that, by the way. He wants to revive Stormy. So let's call on everybody out there in the airwaves, call on the mountain, you know, to do her thing. And we have to do our thing, though, too. We have to really do our thing. You know, we have to protest this. That's a very good example of the kind of massive denial that exists in our culture. For years, we denied that radiation was toxic. At the same time, the government was doing studies of the toxic effects of radiation, and they had, I at one point had someone who was telling me what was going on at Oak Ridge. She was working there as an engineer, and she said they had a whole laboratory of strange animals that had been exposed in utero or before even conception to radiation, and with all these birth defects, you know, three legs, several eyes, that sort of thing, and the public never got to see them. You know, it was top secret. So it's this kind of understanding of the damage we're doing to the earth kind of disappears if we keep it secret. It's all part of the same psychology. We keep things secret. We begin to believe that they really aren't true. And Trump, I believe, is the manifestation of a long-term pattern in this culture. And you know, he tells these lies, and then he tells them a lot. And it's not only that, you know, that famous saying from Goebbels, who tell a lie over and over again, people begin to believe it. But it's also that you, the liar, begins to believe it, particularly when you have somebody who's got the mental distortions that Trump has. But his mental distortions, I hasten to add, you know, when we look at the history of the Holocaust and of the Third Reich, most sophisticated historians now don't say, oh, it was all Hitler. No, it was a social manifestation that was very disturbing. It was not only him. He wouldn't have had that power if it was only him. And that's what's going on with Trump, too. He's a manifestation of a very deep problem, a problem of consciousness and heart in our society. So he appeals to people that, you know, he uses this phrase, the forgotten man, the people who feel they haven't been, they've been ignored or abused by the culture. And for a large part, regarding working people, that's in fact true, and they have been ignored. So that's part of the pattern too. But of course, Trump is using it to his own purposes, and he doesn't intend to help these folks at all. But we have this idea in this culture that if you just don't look at something and you don't discuss it, that it doesn't exist.
Right. Well, there's so much resonance in so many spiraling directions to everything you say. I love Dorothy Parker answering the phone by saying, "What fresh hell is this?" you know, and because when you bring up radiation, Robert Mercer and Trump as a mercenary, largely funded and created in a cynical way to tap into resentment against the elites by the elites, so it's a huge con. But the scientist in quotes that they love, I've forgotten his name, says radiation is good for us. And those who weren't killed outright in Japan actually were improved by it. And we can do all kinds of, this is the scientist that has the ear of Robert Mercer and, you know,
oh,
and praised, possessed by cunning demonic retrovirus, Donald Trumbull-Stiltskin.
And even if there were some little tiny sliver of truth to that, I don't think there is. But think of how cruel that is. You know, it's really the underlying philosophy is might makes right, and that's allied to survival of the fittest, which is not Darwinian science. As a matter of fact, Darwin knew that a healthy environment depends on variety and diversity, but this might makes right philosophy that let's have the strongest survive, and that was Hitler's program. You know, we have to weed out the weak.
Yes, and again, tyranny is compensatory. We need them. Yes, the fascination with the strong men. Yes, as you say, absolutely, Darwin, you know, much more sensible than those who quote him. But also at that time, you know, Kropotkin and many others, you know, mutual aid, that life evolves through mutual aid.
That's right. Yeah. We have both streams in our culture. We have steadily, you know, developed the others. I mean, there's Dorothy, even in, you know, the Catholic Church, there's Dorothy Day, there's Pope Francis, who's so wonderful on a lot of social justice issues. And, then you have Nazi collaborators in the Catholic Church. So throughout, you know, our history, we have both of these streams going on. And there's a, you know, let's hope. I mean, I think we're down to the wire now. The collaborative, the people who believe in kindness and collaboration and democracy and equality, mutual respect. If that attitude doesn't win out, none of us will survive, because we're destroying the earth. We're destroying the very ground we walk on, the ground of our survival.
But again, in keeping with our teammates and Faith Spotted Eagle, we'd say when that philosophy triumphs.
Yes, that's
yes, right. Because I aspire to. I used to always say, you know, all war is a failure of imagination, and I'm like, well, no,
yeah.
adhere to your own teaching, Caroline. Complete the sentence. If all war is a failure of imagination, then all peace is a triumph of the imagination. All right, here we go. Woof, woof, woof.
That's fabulous, and I love that you do that, and you always steer people to let's have this, you know, vision of what is entirely possible and what in fact will be. And that's so terribly important. And I do think, though, that the two visions belong together, that the nightmare vision, if you have that without the vision of what we have the power to make true, then you get stuck in that nightmare, and it leads to cynicism and inaction and despair. But also, if you have everything is going to be all right, that can be what may worry if you don't have the understanding of what will happen if we don't act
right
for our own benefit.
Gotta have the whole thing. The nightmare vision is the five-act structure of plays and storytelling that a friend said. Act one is, here we are. Act two is away. Act three is, oops, uh-oh. Act four is evil. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And act five is the redemption, the renaissance, the good thing.
Oh,
but you got to go through act four to earn act five. You can't tack on the happy ending without descending into the thing. And you can't also just, end with act four. Life sucks. There you go.
And you have to convert act four you have to do what trees do. You know, with carbon dioxide, and it becomes oxygen, and we breathe it in, it's lifeblood. You know, we have to convert the tragedy into wisdom.
Right. Yeah, beautiful. Convert, metabolize. I like somebody's phrase. They go, we're all living in a post-11-9 world now. So it's just, it's true. It is a daunting dynamic. But let's, first, you are giving a wonderful talk, 3 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, May 21st in Berkeley.
Yeah, right? Peace Talk.
Yeah, Peace Talk at the Ed Roberts Campus, 3075 Adeline Street, Berkeley, the Ashby BART station. Feel free to tout that.
Well, I'm going to be interviewed by Kate Raphael, who's on KPFA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I love her.
Yeah, she's terrific. And so she's interviewing me, and I've been thinking a lot about this. And as I say, I'm writing this book called Strong Man, and I've been thinking about the connection between something that I've coined a term, and I'm using it in this new book, and I'm calling it masculinism, as opposed to masculinity. There's nothing wrong with masculinity, it's just a biological fact. Masculinism is a philosophy that is aligned with might makes right, and aggression, and power over, and stark individualism, as opposed to eccentric fun individualism. And So I'm going to talk about that and the relationship to that, of that to war and militarism.
Although it's an interesting etiquette issue, if we throw masculinism into the cauldron, then maybe we throw feminism in too. I mean, just, I don't know. There are.
Well, I'm also going to write about feminism as, you know, there's feminism, which means women's rights, and that's what, how it's being interpreted generally right now, which is fine. I don't have an objection to that. But in the day when the second wave women's movement arose, feminism really meant something else. It didn't simply mean women's rights. It had in mind a transformation of society, which would liberate men as well as women, and it looked at gender as a false category, as a structure that came out of society, so that both masculinity and femininity are kind of lies. But feminism also represented what have been called feminine values, but are really human values, and that is the values we've been talking about, the helping each other, connection, community, reverence for nature, reverence for all life, including human life.
Yes, and the pragmatic mysticism dynamic, like inviting Yucca Mountain to express herself, like partnering again. So much of your beautiful work in Women and Nature, the roaring inside her, everybody, all our dedicated listeners, and while you're at it, why not go to the phone? Here I'm going to be responsible. While you're roaring with enthusiasm for the beauty of Susan Griffin's dedicated life and her prolificness and her ongoingness, so inspiring, and the book that we're offering now being reissued, Woman and Nature, the roaring inside her, and we can even read some enticing quotes, but that can be yours for a pledge, a thank you gift for a pledge of $100 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. That's 1-800-439-5732. And as you know, there are activist animists, so we are rewedding activism and animism on this show and in our hearts. Many people say their dogs like to listen to the show. Pledge for your dog. Stella Coyote is asleep quite close to me. She goes, yeah, I'm 19 and I'm a coyote, pledge to the station. And the black cat is in back of me because I'm and the candles are going, there we go. We're also offering this, I think this works together too, Token Women, a 4,000 year history of women and marijuana by Nola Evangelista, a wonderful guest from 3 weeks ago when I couldn't hear the guests, but they carried on perfectly splendidly. We're doing better now. And it's got some surprising people. It's got some obvious people, but it's also got, Gertrude Bell, Helena Blavatsky, kind of obvious. Mary Todd Lincoln, really, should have taken more.
Amazing.
Queen Victoria. Louisa May Alcott, isn't that Louisa Clay Alcott? Who said, heaven bless hashish if its dreams end like this.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah. Little Women, George Eliot, The Lifted Veil, you know, a great author of Middlemarch, and other fabulous people. And Hildegard von Bingham, there she was gardening and growing weed, too. It's fantastic. Anyway, so this is a very fun book. It goes really well with Women in Nature, The Roaring Insider by Susan Griffin for a pledge of 100. You can also have Token Women, very fun. You know, just leave it out, you know, peruse through it every now and then when you're token up, for a pledge of 60. And then also goes really well, fabulous book, you would love this book, Susan, and these wonderful people, The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World by Robert Hieronymus and Laura Kortner. I hosted them on radio once, replayed it once, and then 2 weeks ago had them on the radio where I could not hear them, but they carried on perfectly well. And Elaine Pagels, who's a complete grown-up, said Secret Life of Lady Liberty ranges through history, biology, mythology, and politics to investigate the meaning and the power of the Statue of Liberty. Mm. Enjoyable to read and inspiring. There we go. All right, so you can have that for a pledge of $90. There you go, you lucky teammates. These are all things I love. I do. I'm not just touting them. I love them. They are thank you gifts from the heart. Again, by calling 1-800-439-5732. And remember, again, our own wonderful Susan Griffin, fellow fellow founding member of the Council of Unreasonable Women, there we go, and pragmatic mystic, embodied and prolific, will be speaking May 21st, 3 to 5 p.m. At the Ed Roberts Campus.
And I'm also speaking with Joanna Macy on June. We're talking about Woman in Nature and about the many, many ways that our work intersects at the Bay Area Book Festival on Sunday, June 4th at 4 o'clock at the Magnet Museum. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes, give her my regards. You are both adored as mavens. People are often saying, do you want to be an elder? I'm like, no, it's too frumpy. A word, but I'll be maven, and Susan Griffin is a maven.
Oh, thank you. That's a great honor. And I want to say, what KPFA is doing for our lives is so terribly important. I mean, I really do feel, I just was writing a passage in the new book about how I think many of the Trump followers have a lack of vocabulary for what they're suffering. They don't subscribe to KPFA. They're not listening to KPFA. So they don't have words to describe what's happening to them. And then it comes out just as this kind of brute anger because they feel so powerless. And what KPFA does is it helps us understand what's happening. It gives us a vocabulary. It gives us a sense of community. So please do support this vital, vital resource for us all.
Yay. That's good. And then also I love the magic word, yet. Conservatives don't listen to KPFA yet. Because
right.
They do. I've been recruiting. Because again, for the likes of the brilliant storytellers like yourself, it is such an opportunity for everyone listening, to be an invitational storyteller. Because as the razzle dazzle swindle becomes apparent to people who voted for Trump and others, whatever, as it is, I mean, we're at a really moral moment. Three Republicans peeled off and protected, air and water yesterday, and four or five gaining ground going, oh, this is troubling, oh, no more, this is troubling. We're at a really moral moment, so we want the invitational story. So I do know, hello, conservatives. I know there are a few conservatives who are listening to this show, possibly right now. You are especially welcome. Yeah, who's a good conservative? Yes, you are. Saying reverence. Well, because there are unifying stories. There are many points of disagreement, but this is an extraordinary moment.
We're on this planet. We're on this planet together, and I have to say, I've never had such a deep understanding as I've gotten from this whole cycle, this whole period of the last few months of patriotism. I suddenly, the meaning, because it's for a long time it seemed to be a kind of empty word that was bandied about to sort of batter people that you disagreed with, and you say that, but now I'm seeing that somebody who has the courage to stand up whatever political party they're in and to say this is violating our country, in other words, you're placing the country, the principles of our country, and the welfare of our country above your own political party, and that's a truly patriotic act. So I especially celebrate the conservatives who are standing up right now for what is right.
Well, do you remember the movie that still holds up? I recommend it to our listening dynamic audience. 7 Days in May, early 1960s novel by Fletcher Knebel.
I don't think I ever saw that. Certainly heard about it.
Well, put it in your list because it's very pertinent to now. I mean, it's a slightly switch, but the reason I want to bring up just a little drop of that medicine is it's Burt Lancaster, and he was an evil military guy plotting a coup against the government. But the moment to extract is there comes a moment where there's a turning. I liken it to, when we put sugar or salt in water and it dissolves in the solution, and then you add one more grain of salt and it all falls out. I think we're saturated with lies, all it takes is one more little thing. And in the 7 Days in May movie, it just goes too far, and the people who were up to no good, who were going to do bad things, were like, I can't, too far. And we're really there.
I think we are, and you're representing the Well, we don't have to split ourselves that way. I mean, I feel that we can turn things around too. But I think turning it around means, if we're to do that, we have to recognize what's at stake. And the planet is at stake, for one thing, but it's also democracy is at stake. It's not simply an issue of whether the Russians polluted our election. It's that violates, if that was done, and I think it probably was, it violates democracy. And if we let this go unprosecuted and unrecognized, then we have a serious ongoing problem, because it's not just a single instance. If you let something like that happen, you know, I'm having a window replaced in my house, and there was a little dry rot, and, well, that's got to be fixed. So it's being fixed, because if you let it go on, it's only going to get worse, and maybe the house will come tumbling down. And that's what's happening with our democracy right now. So we have got to attend to this. We've got to save our democracy, and I do have faith that people will do that, but in history it hasn't always come out that way. Eventually it does, but sometimes too many people die and suffer in the meantime.
Well, let me quote a wonderful wise woman named Susan Griffin, who says, every important social movement reconfigures the world in the imagination. What was obscure comes forward, lies are revealed, memory shaken, new delineations drawn over the old maps. It is from this new way of seeing the present that hope emerges for the future. Let us begin to imagine the worlds we would like to inhabit, the long lives we will share, and the many futures in our hands. What a wise woman that Susan Griffin is.
Oh, let's imagine universal health care right now.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Universal higher education for anyone who, you know, anyone who wants it and has the ability to achieve it without any financial barriers.
Right, and blessed Michael Moore, he's just becoming more and more himself in a fully informed and jaunty manner. I love what he said. He said, since he saw this train wreck coming last August, so did I. He's been on a creative tear, or I'd like to be. And he's opening a play on Broadway, and Lawrence
O'Donnell
was like,
"Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah,
isn't that kind of elite?" And he goes, "No, I want to talk to everybody. You know, that's where, you know, upper middle America lives. I'm going everywhere." And I love that, because as you mentioned, it's the Secretary of State is Exxon, and you know there's the Russian thing, and we don't polarize into, you know, but we do go right. The Arctic is at stake. I mean, that's why the meeting with the whatever to lift the sanctions in order to drill, and it's the corporate Russia and the corporate, you know, Exxon.
Barons, yeah. And the, you know, Trump admires the atmosphere in Russia, which has even less regulations. I mean, he talks about regulations as if they were sort of rules imposed on school children who want to eat sugar or something. Regulations, when you're regulating industry and corporations, what you're doing is you're preventing them from creating a kind of economic tyranny over everybody on the face of the earth.
Right, and do you remember? And there's a great moment in the play *A Man for All Seasons* where, where the protagonist hero says, "And Roper, would you cut down all laws and all regulations? You know, and then having cut them down, the laws being all flat, where would you hide from the devil and the howling winds?"
Mm-hmm.
It's a slight misquote, but you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Saturn boundaries, and you know that's why we do want these. To tout your beautiful book, which we're offering as a thank you gift, Woman in Nature by The Roaring Inside Her, by Susan Griffin, for a pledge of $100 by calling 1-800 239-5732. And we have a very diverse listening audience. Everybody is completely welcome. It really is a democratic animism. There's dogs and there's humans and there's people in Marin and Santa Cruz and all over the world, really, by web. And you can pledge online at kpfa.org. But I also get a lot of mail from prisons. And a lot of prisoners listen to this show. So we pledge for those who cannot. You know, there's also a number of wonderful friends who work with the homeless in San Francisco say the homeless like this show because they go, she talks in symbols. That's our language. So they cannot pledge. So pledge for the homeless, pledge for those in prison, pledge for your dog, pledge for yourself, pledge for the earth, pledge for beautiful Susan Griffin. You know, these are thank you gifts. Again, Woman in Nature, the roaring inside her. Again, just to say, in this famously provocative cornerstone of feminist literature, Susan Griffin explores the identification of women with the earth as sustenance for humanity and as victim of male rage. Until now, or well, no, it's still ongoing, it's true. I can't really chime in. We can't quite declare until now, but we're moving that way.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, and it is a clarion call, right, because we go, yes, there are some places, certainly still Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan, where it is very difficult to speak out as a woman. People do, women do, but the cost is high. But here we have Pacifica, who is herself a woman. You know, humans come and go, Pacifica, right? But the spirit of Pacifica, the goddess of peace herself, that's what we're pledging to. And it's so there's a. You know, I love when we began talking, right, Susan Griffin and I, at the beginning of this hour, the metaphor overhead, because I always do the charts, was a radical magazine circulating liberating ideas. That's what we're doing. And Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, was straight up overhead. And we go, we're doing it for her. Pacifica is for the earth and for all the beings. Again, that a renaissance of reverent ingenuity may emerge from this rubble. And beautiful Jupiter in Libra is about stories of kinship and mending our broken treaties with the flora and fauna. So we species, we rogue species, can rejoin the choreography of creation. And that's a lot, really, about where you are, right? Again, mending our broken treaties with beauty, yeah?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think that poetry and literature kind of are able to swim under the wave. You know, if we have this huge wave of, so you know, dominance and aggression and masculinism and militarism coming at us, but you can swim right under the wave. If you, anybody who's ever body surfed, you know what that's like. And poetry and literature do that. They take you to a deeper knowledge, a knowledge that's in your body. It's what makes you start to dance to music. And the music in literature is beautiful sounds. Connects you with this profound knowing that's more than your sort of limited rational thought. You know, what we call rational thought is not simply logical. It's been trained by the culture. Now, I'm all in favor of reason and logic. Don't get me wrong. And I use reason and logic quite a lot. But there's also a sort of maybe it should be called more like a rationalization of horrendously destructive attitudes and behaviors. And there's the rationales and the rationalization, and we've been taught that schematically forced into that way of thinking. So that dominant way of thought, you have to rebel against it. It's in all of us. We've internalized it since childhood. But also since childhood, we've had another understanding that's much deeper, much more profound, much stronger within us. And music, the music of literature, the beauty of literature, beauty of any kind, the beauty of art, too, helps us to find that in ourselves, and that is a never-ending source of strength.
Absolutely. Yeah, so our beautiful guest is a longtime ally of life, Susan Griffin, longtime lover. She has many lovers, chipmunks and plants and animals and creatures and women and men and just everything. She's a lover of life and life loves her, Susan Griffin, whose fabulous book, Woman in Nature, The Roaring Insider, is just out in a fresh edition for Pacifica, the Goddess of Peace, and dedicated listeners to the Visionary Activist Show. So Woman in Nature, The Roaring Insider by Susan Griffin, great ally. And that's a thank you gift for a pledge of $100 by calling 1-800-439-5732. And oh, look, wait. I love this collaborative, evolutionary collaborative mutual aid. We have a Margie Adam in Berkeley has offered a $500 match. 500 is a magic number. 5 is sacred to Venus. That's really great. So we have a match.
Is that Margie Adams? Is that the wonderful singer Margie Adams, who is a friend? I bet it is. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we're inhaling her match, so that means everybody who pledges now, because we are offering Token Women, a 4,000-year history of women and marijuana by Nola Evangelista, a very patient, wonderful guest of 3 weeks ago. Let me just open at random here, just going Jane Fonda. Right. I was surprised by that because it's like really, I know her a little bit. She's quite wonderful, but she used to be.
Yeah,
like,
she's terrific.
But no. Apparently she's token up. Sarah Silverman, well, that's obvious, and Roseanne Barr, well, the modern people. But Gertrude Bell, Queen of the Desert, yes, a colonial right-winger, but she was smoking up at least. Maud Gonne, Yeats's lover.
Thank oh, yes, Maud Gonne. Oh, how marvelous. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, she was a visionary.
Well, she said, thank you for the dream drug.
Yeah, well, she was full of dreams. Great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Together, Gonne and Yeats took hashish in Paris in 1894 in an attempt to make themselves telepathic. All right, well, let's go with that. Radio is telepathic. There we go. Okay, so we're offering that book. I almost got lost in it. Token Women, a 4,000-year history of women and marijuana for a pledge, a thank you gift, for a pledge of $60. Fabulous book, The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World by Robert Hieronymus and Laura Kortner. Really great allies. I want to get all of these people together. That's all for you if you call by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online at kpfa.org. You know, for the Visionary Activist Show, where we convene every week to, you know, re-wed activism and animism and blend it together and the mythological news service. It's 20 and a half years old, this show. My God.
Fantastic.
I know. It's amazing. So pledge for this place where we gather. And every week there's new listeners. Hi there. Hi there. Hi there. And every week there's, you know, longtime listeners. Hello. Hello. Sometimes come up, you know, I love, you know, last time I was in California, very stylish, fabulous, beautiful, hip black woman came up and said, you heard me, my voice in the ladies' room, and said, I know that voice. You raised me. I started listening to your show when I was 17, and I'm 30-something now. I'm like, oh, my God, that redeems my entire life. That's worth the whole ride. So this beloved station, ever more important, it's however you choose to tell that story of right now. We want a place for sane reverence, for critique about the nightmare vision, and what we can do, critique and solution. And Pacifica's charge is all coming alive now. It's there. So we want to, everything magic. We just had the Buddha's full moon, and Susan was really embodying it in a way, because it's this full moon right behind us is all about the commerce between the visible and the invisible, and creating templates into which we invite power and sustenance. So think of Pacifica also as a template, and the Visionary Activist Show as a template into which we're inviting in, you know, well, we're on radio, it's invisible, and you calling the station is invisible, and the money you give us is invisible until it manifests in the perpetuity, you know, in the flourishing of the station. So it's a perfect time to do dedicated magic, which includes the, you know, the dedicating of beautiful money to, well, liberating it from bad things to good things, again, by calling 1-800-439-5732, or online, kpfa.org. So, anywhere you want to go, Susan.
Yeah, well, do you want me to read a passage from Woman in Nature?
I do. That's really good. Okay, we're a little bit short, team. I'm just getting from our beautiful phone room volunteers, and we're so grateful that they're there. We want to rouse things up. So we still have a $500 match. Let's make this thing go, and let's be surprising. And I know Susan has been distractingly fascinating, but she's going to do a little pitch before she says wonderful things to encourage everybody to call. All right, there we go. It's just so we can get ourselves up to speed here.
Yeah, so you know, money is symbolic, you know, and it's not nothing because it represents something. It's and it can be used to keep this station alive and keep these voices out in our community and keep you informed and keep us singing together all in one choir. So do it. Send in what you can.
Yes, and call that number 1-800-439-5732 for life, for the Arctic, for fungi, for all the guests we bring, the wonderful of which Susan is a great and honored member, all the people, Terry Tempest Williams and Stephen Buhner and Paul Stamets and Diana Beresford Kroger and Joanna Macy and all these fantastic people who come to present Critique and Solution. So again, we're offering Susan's beautiful book, Woman in Nature, The Roaring Insider. So actually, when you call, feel free to call 1-800-439-5732 and go, "Arr, I'm calling to pledge." That would be fun. So I'm a lion disguised as a human. And also The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World, for a pledge of $90, Token Women, 4,000-Year History of Women and Marijuana, for a pledge of $60, by calling
1-800-439-5732. You know, can it be sort of monthly, add up that $90, paying a certain amount a month? Can't you do it that way, too?
I'm sure you can talk to our cooperators who are standing by in the phone room at 1-800-439-5732. And also, yeah, you bring up a really good point, which is these are matches and a $500 match. Don't let this go to waste. Come on, team. There we go. But, you know, any amount, you know, that you give with your heart, with dedication, by the pledging of this $5 or $20 is welcome. So we compost alienation going, "Oh, I don't have $100. Anything is completely welcome in the democracy of our gathering. Yes. So, Susan, yes, anything
okay.
You want to read that you think...
So I'm going to read this now because it fits very well with what you've been saying. So it's called Flying. It's a little section in Woman in Nature. And it begins with a quote from Bessie Henderson, Crook of Devon. In 1661, ye was taken out of bed to that meeting in a flight. In those years, whatever we wanted, it seemed, we could not have. Nothing in our lives was ever fortunate. We had the meagerest portion of things, and when things were rare, we went without. That is our lot in life, we told ourselves, and we stopped wanting. Only we longed, and we grew so accustomed to the pain of longing that we called this our nature. We put this into our songs. We said disappointment was part of life. Even in our imaginations, all our attempts began to fail. But one day, all this changed. On this day, we met a woman who was used to getting what she wanted. She ate large portions, and her body was big. She let us know there were other such women. We were bewitched. We began to dream. We were like this woman. Her very smile invited us to be like her, and that is how we were finally initiated. We began to think we might get what we want. Our longing turned into desire. Do you know how desire can run through the limbs? How wanting lets your eyes pierce space? How desire propels even the sleeping? How a resolve to act can traverse this atmosphere as quick as light? We were alive with desire, and we knew we could never go back to those years of longing. This is why, despite the threat of fire and our fear of the flame, we burst out through the roofs of our houses. Desire is a force inside us. Our mouths drop open in the rushing air. Our bodies float among stars, and we laugh in ecstasy to know the air has wishes. The stars want. Yes, we call out, full of ourselves and delight. Yes, we sing. We fly through the night.
A wonderful invitation. That's really great. Yes, laugh. Laughs have wishes. And it's also, yes, yearning into desire, right? Yearning into desire, because it is that beautiful uplift, like a saxophone, like the call to prayer, like the, again, your beautiful words is yearning into desire, where it's met by a, it's a call and response time, right? Really, right now.
Yeah, it's a call and response with the whole universe. You know, the whole universe is filled with the desire to become what, you know, we're all in a state of becoming, and everything around us is in a state of becoming.
Right.
Everything it's perfectly evident in spring, but it's always true.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And everything into the cauldron going, you know, is this the most beautiful possible human culture? No, of course not. Let's throw it in and ladle it out. We want to thank Rita Sharoshashi in Piedmont for a wonderful pledge. And Phoebe Ackley and Nancy Thibault. And come on, team, let's have a rousing finale because we have a $500 match that we're just a smidge short of. Oh, come on, beautiful team. Again, we have thank you gifts. And Stella Coyote is 19. She's been my co-producer. She is the half coyote, half dog for 19 years. She's exhorting as well, going, pledge your kinship with coyotes and with your inner trickster, and with inner trickster as keeper of democracy, and for the beautiful work of Susan Griffin and all of the people who contribute to this renaissance by looking, you know, absolutely fiercely at the nightmare before us and reaching in and going, yes, that is true, and here's what we can do. There we go. So we're offering Susan's beautiful book, Woman in Nature, The Roaring Insider, for a pledge of $100. We're offering The Secret Life of Lady Liberty for a pledge of $90. We're offering Token Women, 4,000-Year History of Women and Marijuana, for a pledge of $60 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online kpfa.org. You know, a rousing finale would be really great. We're in our last minute or so, Susan. What would you like to say to the world?
Well, we can do it. We all have to be on board, you know. Everybody has to do whatever they can. I'm 74 years old. I can't always go on all the demonstrations. I'm just not physically capable of it. But I can sign petitions. I can make phone calls. Everybody,
phone calls.
If we all do what we can, it's already having quite an effect. So let's keep that up.
No, that's great.
Let's keep the community we're forming in the process, because it's all about being together and working together. That's what it's all about.
Definitely. And we are citizen trickster as keeper of democracy arising in all of our hearts and indivisible daily action. Don't forget that. Insist, persist, woof, woof, call for a special prosecutor to take over the Trump Russia investigation. 844-241-1141. But now back to 1-800-439-5732. Democracy Central, Democratic Animism Central. Let's feed and nourish this beautiful station where we convene in the Visionary Activist Show. That would be great. Again, Susan Griffin's beautiful book, Woman in Nature, The Roaring Inside Her, for a pledge of $100, and you can pledge online at kpfa.org. Come on, people. We would love to make the $500 match. That would be really good. And Lucy Giever Conroy, yay! San Jose, for a pledge of $100. What a great human she is. And Elena Auerbach in Berkeley, for a pledge of $108 as a magic Buddhist mala. That's fantastic. Yes, pledge a magic amount that amuses you. That would be great. So that's a great way to go out. Thank you. Thank you forever, Susan Griffin.
Thank you.
Let us think of this as part one. I want to delve further into Kahuti.
Lovely. Yes, we have to continue this. Wonderful.
We will continue this. And thanks always to Erica Bridgman in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey, and here we go. Woof.
Great woof to you.
Great woof. Great woof to you. Mwah.
Oh, yeah, dear. Oh, yeah.